Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Cause wife in 405. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Gotcha for one more hour. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019 till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Good morning. Football is here. As we got the Cowboys and the Eagles tonight to kick off the NFL season. Obviously, we've done a lot of baseball, too, coming off two losses for the Yankees and Mets. Ryan Helsley, Yankees, Devin Williams continue to do it to them over and over and over again. The Yankees in the middle of this gauntlet of these playoff teams that they've struggled against so much over the course of this regular season. They took game one of the series. They lost, obviously, last night in ugly fashion in the eighth. And they will look to rebound and take the series with Carlos Rodon on the mound tonight. The Vera Tucker injury for the Jets, the quarterback situation for the Giants, Andrew Thomas for the Giants. Again, I'm very gung-ho on the Giants this year, as you know, not necessarily playoff team, but better than people think. I do like the over-under. We'll do over-unders and everything, all the picks tomorrow. But I'll give you the Giant one. I mentioned it the other day. I like the Giants at 5.5 a lot. I just think the Giants. I think we don't know what schedules are actually going to be until we see. Like, the idea we know this is the most difficult schedule in the history of football. It might sound like it today. It doesn't mean it will be. And I just have a feeling the Giants are a better football team than people think. And I think they're going to get off to a good start, even if Andrew Thomas doesn't play. Hopefully the offensive line can stabilize itself. Illuminor hopefully will go a long way to doing that at the other tackle position. We'll see. I'm confident on the Giants to get this season started. I have a good feeling about everything that's gone on. I think they've really improved their defense, and they might have an elite pass rush. So I'm going to go with that. The Jets, obviously, dealing with the Vera Tucker injury, a torn tricep, could be out for the rest of the year. Devastating injury to a group and a unit that's supposed to be pretty much who they are. Like, this season's going to be defined on their run game and defined on winning in the trenches and defined at winning in the line of scrimmage. And to lose their best offensive lineman just as the season is getting underway is a tough blow for the New York Jets. But we'll go around the league here in a little bit. I want to take some of the calls. I do have a couple of different thoughts and predictions. And, you know, it's funny, too, because I'm – you know, Pittsburgh to me, and if you look at the both Norths, for some reason, jump out to me as the most two interesting divisions in football. But as Pittsburgh comes in to take on the Jets, they're the team I'll be focused on the most this year. I find Aaron Rodgers fascinating. I find the way they've gone about this offseason fascinating. I think it's either going to be the biggest crash and burn you've ever seen, or I think they are going to be one of the best teams in the AFC. And you look at, obviously, Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Cincinnati in that division. You could be looking at three playoff teams, and then you look at the NFC North. I honestly think there is a chance in the NFC North that you could see every team in that division make the playoffs. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's mathematically possible, but I look at them as four of the better teams. Like, I look at the NFC North, and I honestly think that four of the best seven teams are in that division. I mean, Green Bay with the additions of Parsons, we'll see. With the addition of Parsons, we'll see how bad his back actually is. But they were one of the, you know, sleeker, sexy picks to be a threat in the NFC before he got there. They're the youngest team in the NFL. I think Jordan Love, if he could stay healthy, is going to have a monster year. I think they're good defensively. Minnesota, the only thing that scares you is the quarterback play, but we know how good Detroit is. And obviously Chicago, there's been some issues to start camp, and you know Williams hasn't looked all that good, but I do believe in the coach, and I think that offensively they should be pretty damn good. I think there's a chance that that's a dominant division where some of the best teams in the NFC are all playing in that division. The Rams are another fascinating team. The Rams are another boom or bust team. If Stafford is healthy, I think you're looking at a Super Bowl caliber team from the Rams. I think San Francisco takes a step back. I think Seattle has an opportunity to be the best defensive team. McDonald is one hell of a defensive coach. They've got a lot of talent there. I think Seattle could be one of the best. I think Seattle and Denver have a chance to be the two best defensive teams in the sport. But I just don't know about Sam Darnold out in Seattle and that offense. So like when I look at it, I go, the Rams might be the only playoff team out of the NFC West. I think the Eagles might be the only playoff team out of the East. I think Atlanta and Tampa Bay are probably play. I mean, that's what makes me think the entire NFC North could possibly be playoff teams this year. But we'll get more into the football stuff tomorrow. As we make our picks, we'll do the over-unders. We'll do some thoughts, obviously, picks for week one as we get underway in the NFL season. Already here, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Dave in Brooklyn. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's going on? You know, regarding tonight's game, you know, I give credit for Boone because he fights the umpires. And, you know, I was reading an article about how the older umpires score significantly worse than the younger umpires in calling games. And I don't know if this is due to the younger ones having grown up with the technology that we see on the screens that the older ones maybe, you know, didn't grow up with, of course. And maybe the older ones are just a little bit more arrogant or a little bit more lazy, or I don't know what it is, but I thought that was interesting right there. And, you know,
could just be that they have better vision and coordination or hand, you know, could just be that they're, you know, physically more equipped to handle the duties of an umpire.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the obvious one. You're right.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I was just wondering, imagine there was a wins above replacement for managers. I wonder what Boone's would be this year. Would it be negative two games, negative five games?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be. Now, there, I kind of have a way to do that. I mean, I shouldn't say I have a way, but if you just go to their run differential, like, or if you go to the baseball reference page, they have a thing where if you look at the each team, they based on the run differential, they'll give you what their record should be. So the Yankees right now, let's see, hold on.
I was unaware of this. Is this on Baseball Reference?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you look at this year's team, they have the best run differential in the sport. They've scored 733 runs. They've allowed 594. Right now, their record, according to that theorem on MLB, on Baseball Reference, has them at 83-56.
Wow.
That's what their record should be just based on their run differential. And right now, their record is 77-62. So they are five games worse than what their run differential would dictate. So that's about as close. To me, that's the numbers on the field dictate this. I think you could argue that that's kind of where the manager lies. So, yeah, you could make the case right now that Aaron Boone is at a minus five.
Wow. Interesting. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to check it out for a while.
Yeah, like, and typically the Yankees have done better. Typically under Aaron Boone, I don't remember the exact years, but it was most of the years under Aaron Boone, they actually outperformed their theory and had a better record than their run differential would have dictated. This year, not so much. That's why I've been more critical of them this year, because I do believe the team is underachieving. I've never really felt like the team dramatically underachieved before. They had June swoons and stuff, and they missed the playoffs in 23. I thought that roster stunk. I thought they were lucky to finish above 500. The roster overall wasn't good, plus they lost Judge for 70 games or so. And last year, you know, one was the number one. Like, I think last year was the only year that the Yankees clearly had the best team in the American League with Aaron Boone as the manager, and they made it to the World Series. This year, they should be better than what they are. Now, I think Devin Williams has a direct role in that as much as anybody. Now it's to the point where you start to really blame the manager more so than even Devin Williams, because he continues to put him in that situation. Early on, it's hard to blame Aaron Boone. He was blowing 3-run leads, 4-run leads, and they traded for one of the best relievers in baseball. It's hard to not at least try and run with him for a while. But I think that's fair. I think that's the best way. It's not a perfect way, but it's the best way to look at it. Their run differential tells you they should be 5 games better. What's the difference? That's maybe where you could find the difference in the manager. And I don't think it's outrageous to say the Yankees are 3, 4, 5 games worse because of the decisions made by Aaron Boone. I think that's fair. Brett in Long Island, what's up, Brett?
Chris, yesterday I was happy you were back from vacation. Today I want to buy you a first-class ticket back to Italy.
There you go.
First of all, the fantasy, five fantasy teams is like counterproductive. Like, you start rooting against yourself. I think that's silly. And preseason, what is the point of, I just wanted to say that you don't even have to respond. You're going to start rooting against yourself. It's like ridiculous. You're 5-6.
Well, it's not rooting, like, yeah. You got players on your team, and you're also going against the same
each
players.
Other. Defense, yes. It's ridiculous. And then your own team, if you like the Giants. And then you
I don't root against the Giants.
You understand what I'm saying? It could be like the end of the year.
You
win $1,500, or the Giants lose the game. And don't
well,
make
that's
the
just
play.
You could do that even with one fantasy team, theoretically.
Yeah, but I'm saying then you know, 5 times more of the odds. One team, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, the call is about preseason. Chris, what is preseason? What is the objective of preseason?
Really, stay healthy. Stay healthy, build some camaraderie, get some contact under your belt, learn the offense, learn the defense, be ready for the season.
Okay, so you're trying to win positions, trying to win jobs, right? You're trying to see which players can, you know, make the team for starters. Okay.
You mean preseason games in particular? Yeah, preseason games in particular, yeah. Evaluation of your roster, yes. Evaluation of your roster, yes.
So Jackson Dart has proven more than any quarterback this preseason that this guy can play football. You're going to say against backups, sometimes against starters. You just make it sound like I would keep him out all year, which is, to me, silly. Like, you don't know the pulse of what's going on with the Giants. Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Drake May look good. I mean, you got a guy like that that's playing that well. If they give him a shot, I have a problem. You know the angle I have a problem with? Here's the angle. Russell Wilson. If you give Jackson Dart a chance, you know, during the game, the second, third week, what does that do to Russell Wilson? Did he earn that position and then you take it away? Like, I think that's more of the problem. Yeah, he's been a good teammate, yeah, a good leader, and then you take it away for a rookie. But you can't sit here and tell me that Jackson Dart hasn't done enough to prove, hey, I think I could do this with the guys.
He hasn't done anything to prove anything. Played well in the preseason, so what?
What do you mean? Like, but then why did Jaden Daniels get a chance? Why did Bo Nix get a chance?
Because they didn't have because they were drafted at the very top of the draft, and their organizations made the decision that they were going to give them the starting job from the jump. And they went out and signed Russell Wilson to not do it, and I think they're more desperate to win football games because of how they've been losing for forever, and the idea of they want to, you know, they've tried it before. They gave, you know, they want to give him some time to learn. You know, he's coming from a college where they, you know, they did technically run a, you know, kind of a pro offense, but they cut the field in half a lot for him. They want to make, you know, let him develop. That was the plan. If they came out, never signed Russell Wilson, and said, we're going to start the quarterback from Jump Street, that's fine. But they didn't. And I think it's better. You just mentioned a bunch of quarterbacks who stepped right in and played well. Absolutely. There's plenty of them. There's also quarterbacks who stepped right in and were a disaster, and maybe they would have benefited from it. And there are quarterbacks who got some time, and it worked out pretty well, too. It worked out pretty well for Patrick Mahomes. It worked out pretty well for Aaron Rodgers. It worked out pretty well for a lot of different guys. So there's no wrong way. There's no right way. I just think there's a plan, and I do think Russell Wilson can go win them football games, and I'd rather see Jackson Dart just learn. But I'm not opposed to playing Jackson Dart. I'm not opposed to Jackson Dart playing this year. And I understand that most likely he will. When they make the designation of him as the second string quarterback, they probably have an indication that he's going to play relatively soon. I want to see the Giants win. And if they're winning, I don't think they'll make the change. That's part of the reason I'm saying I don't want to see him, because I want to see the Giants win. And I don't think this owner has it in him to, like, even if the Giants are 4-6, say the Giants are 4-6 after 10, like, I don't think they'll make a change at 4-6. I really don't. They'll probably still be within a game or two of the final seed of the playoffs, and the owner's going to be like, you ain't taking this out to give me a rookie quarterback now. I want to try and win. Robbie in Lake Success. What's up, Robbie?
Chris, I agree with you 100% on the Giants, and I want to talk baseball, but just to throw out the Giants, I'm very high on them, and I agree. Russell Wilson was brought here to start. Giants are going to win 9 games this year. I really believe they're that good, and that's really not that good. It's just better than 800. So I think they're going to compete. The defense is going to be phenomenal, and I think that he has weapons, and they got a quarterback in there, Neighbors. It's all about injuries, but and you don't know how teams are going to be, Chris. 100%. I don't go by records, and I mean, I don't go by schedules, because we don't know what teams are going to look like, you know, mid-season. So I do believe going, and the coach is going to coach out of his mind, because he's on the hot seat. If he goes out and starts out 0-4, he could be gone by halfway through the season if they just keep on a tailspin. So he's going to coach like year one. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to coach like he knows his job is really on the line. And I think the Giants are going to be really competitive. And that over 5.5, whatever that nonsense is, they're winning a lot of games this year, and they're going to be competitive. Now I want to get to the baseball. And I heard your opening last night, and I want to compare it to today. Number one, you were going berserk, and you were saying, oh, my God, look at the great, how great the Yankees are. You can't get this
high. I don't think I did.
Well, okay.
I don't think I ever said, look how great the Yankees are.
Don't take me word for it. Your excitement, okay?
It was a good win.
It was a good win, as bad as last night was a bad loss. And I want to take two things. Number one, I'm a Red Sox fan, okay? And I'm very good, even keel. You don't want to play the Red Sox. And what it's going to come down to, Chris, is every team in baseball is pretty much even in the playoff hunt. The Yanks are going to get in. The Red Sox are going to get in. I mean, they might not win the division. So you're going to have to win 13 games. So if you go 13-9,
right,
with three good pitches, you're going to win the World Series. I'm not saying the Yankees or the Red Sox are going to get there. Everybody in the league, Detroit is a fraud. Seattle, they'll be probably the last team that gets in. The Yankees could beat anybody. If I'm a Yankee fan, I'm worried about right now. I'm talking about the American League. Forget the World Series. I'm talking, you don't want any part of the Red Sox. And if they meet in the best of five, I think the Red Sox will beat them. A best of seven with three pitches. You got Gill, you got Rodon, and obviously you got Fried. They're going to be very competitive, and you could use Fried as a game seven mop, win the game, you know, like the last inning if you need to put a starter in, versus Williams has been a bust. Now, I want to throw one last thing out. Last night was such a bad loss to the Yankees. That's why you can't get high and low. The Giants were 7-7. They were, and I was at that Jet game, and I went to San Francisco. They won. They ran the table. That's the greatest sports run, in my opinion, to win six games in football in a row, not baseball going on a six-game win streak. That is an incredible run. My point being, it's going to come down to the last, basically, the playoffs. Get in, you can win.
That's my motto, Robbie. Get in, get hot. That's what I've been saying forever. And I don't care about these games all that much, other than they're a means to an end, about winning the division. It's important to play well in these games because the Yankees are going to need them if they want to win the division. It's unlikely they play poorly over these 12 games, specifically against the Blue Jays and the Red Sox, and still win the division. That's tough. But I don't care. You know, I was saying the same thing the day before Evan and Marash were debating it. Like, I don't care. I don't care if the Yankees lose every single one of these games the rest of this gauntlet and then win every single game after it and still win the division. I don't care. I just want to win the division. I want to win the division. I want to have a bye. I want to not have to worry about the wild card, and I want to have home field advantage in the ALDS. That's it. That's it. I don't care how they get there. I don't care if they do it by winning all the next, 10 games of this gauntlet, or if they do it going 2-8 in the next 10 games and then just don't lose again after it. I don't care. I don't care how it gets done. I don't think it matters at all. I really don't. Don't think it matters at all. But, yeah, I mean, look, I said this yesterday when someone asked me what's the least likely or the one playoff thing I would try to avoid. The one thing that would scare me the most, and it doesn't mean I don't think the Yankees could win it, would be a wild card series at Fenway. That's the one thing I desperately would want to avoid. I don't want to have to go to Fenway for 3 and win 2 out of 3 there. Other than that, I think the Yankees could win anything. Even that, I think they could win, but they could lose anything. But that's the one I would try to avoid that. I don't want to play a wild card series in Fenway.
Talk New York sports on WFAN, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right, 431. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. I cannot wait to see Aaron Rodgers back at MetLife in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform. I think that dynamic to open the season is a fascinating one. I think there's a real chance that the Pittsburgh Steelers, I know a lot of people are down on them. I know it's, Aaron Rodgers. I know it's an impossible division. I think there's a very good chance. I think Joe Burrow's got an opportunity to win the MVP this year. I think that team offensively is going to be dynamic. Obviously, you've got Baltimore, still the best, rivalry in football between them and the Steelers. It's a very difficult division. It's a new offense for him. They've been kind of mired in mediocrity over the last 10 years or so. Haven't won a playoff game in a long time. But I don't know what it is. I think when Watt's on the field, they're obviously a very good defensive football team. I like what they've done. I like the idea they went for it with Aaron Rodgers. I just have a feeling that this could be one of the more interesting teams in football. And to start it with him coming back to play the Jets, healthy week one, not banged up, a full year removed, more than that now, but a full second year now recovering from the Achilles injury, I just have a feeling he's going to have a pretty good season. And I wouldn't be surprised if it starts off really well against the Jets. And the idea that the building's going to be half Steeler fans and just the dynamic of him coming back, it's going to be, that's just cinema. Come Sunday at 1 o'clock. 888-808-1019. Let's go to James in Paramus. What's up, James?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
So I'm glad you just brought that up, because I was listening to your show yesterday morning, and you talked about the MetLife being 50-50 Jets and Steelers split on Sunday.
Right, that's the expectation, yes.
Right. I used to be a season ticket holder for the Jets, and I walked away a couple of years ago just because I'm disgusted with the team. And, no longer am I a diehard Jet fan, but I'm more of a golf clap Jet fan now.
Okay.
But I was at my fantasy football draft on Saturday, and a couple of my friends there are diehard Steeler fans. Like, they posted all over social media. There's no doubt everybody knows they're Steeler fans. Do you know that people from the Jets organization were calling them to sell them tickets because they just want to fill the building. I mean, this is like a new low for me with the Jets, that they are literally calling opposing fans to come and sit in their seats. Why not call me? Why not offer me tickets again? You know, and I mean, this is what really drives me nuts about this organization.
You know for a fact your buddy's got the call?
Absolutely. He told me on Saturday. I was sitting right next to him. We were having our draft, and he told me that they called him, and he's like, I don't even know how they got my number. I don't even know how they know, you know, I'm a Steeler fan, but, you know, everything out there, there's no secrets out there in this world today. But I'm just disgusted with this organization.
Well, they could probably tell if he's bought Steeler tickets in the past. That's probably how they know.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, why not call Jet fans? Why not call your old season ticket holders and offer them something? You know, this is why I am just so done with this team. I mean, and you know, I hope it's 80% Steeler fans there, and I hope Woody Johnson's just disgusted with himself and this organization. Anyway, that's my rant. You know,
I get it. There's a lot of Jet fans who do that. I heard Evan talking about tanking yesterday. And you know, the idea that you're not going to root for them with this owner and everything. Like, look, I do think there should be some renewed optimism. It is a new regime with a new head coach. Certainly, as much as I'm a pro tanker, I'm not a tanker week one, no matter how bad the situation is. I don't believe in tanking from week one, even if there's no real reason to believe in having any success. There's always the possibility of it. I do believe that losing still gives you you'll reach a point in the season where losing is beneficial. Change the rules. Make it so that's not the case. I'll be all in. But unfortunately, just the realities of the sport, you benefit from losing once you hit a certain point. But I would never say it to start the year. And look, the idea that any Jet fan would hope they lose on Sunday, because, I don't know, they're calling up Pittsburgh Steeler fans, or that Steeler fans are going to be 48% of the crowd, or that, you know, you're fed up with everything Woody Johnson has done. I mean, this team, even with the AVT injury, they've got an opportunity to be a winning football team. Like, they've got an opportunity to end the playoff drought. I don't know how good of an opportunity it is. I don't feel overly confident about it. The quarterback scares the hell out of me as far as opportunities to make the playoffs. But they do. They have an opportunity to be a much better team than we think, an opportunity of a team to, you know, dominate the line of scrimmage, and a team to be able to run the football with their tandem backs and their quarterback, who can make explosive plays. We, you know, wasn't that long ago he was making explosive, explosive plays with the Chicago Bears and went on a run of, you know, scoring touchdowns. So it's not impossible this Jet team surprises people. I just think I don't have a lot of confidence in the quarterback play. I don't have a lot of confidence in the passing attack. Now the offensive line's in question, that they lost their best offensive lineman, and that's so huge to what this team is and what it's trying to be. And I think it's a tough week one matchup. I think the Steelers are going to be good this year. Let's go to Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. Where you been? What's going on?
Oh, I've been traveling just like you. Hey, so Italy's wonderful, right? So there's a town there called, what was it called? I was there. It was one beautiful Casa de, right on the water, right outside of Palermo. Mm-hmm. It's like a different world. Chris,
it is,
right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Different world. And I saw the sandwich you were eating. That is like the standard in Sicily. So
yeah, it's a street food standard. Yes, it's a very popular street food sandwich, the spleen and lung sandwich. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting combination. But listen, I am a little disgusted, but it's been consistently all year. No matter how bad these pitchers or no matter how bad Volpe is, this coach continues to say he's getting better. I mean, I've had enough. I just think you're right. We have to stop playing Volpe. We have to start playing to win. And I'm not saying they don't play to win, but I just think he continues to make these decisions. And Devin Williams is a disaster. There's no way out of it. And, I mean, you got to do something. I just don't know what to do. But most importantly, so nice to have you back overnight, Chris.
Oh, thank you, buddy. So I appreciate that.
Just, you, maybe, while you were in Italy, I was thinking that you might want to come back and sing a song in Italian before, maybe something like that.
No, well, I mean, no, I don't know any songs in Italian. I sing plenty. We'll be singing during football season. Don't worry about it. Hopefully. I don't know what you can do with Devin Williams. I do think they're going to need him. I was joking about it before. You know, you could say, oh, you need everybody, all hands on deck if we're going to win this thing. Like, I do think they're going to need Devin Williams in some manner, but I don't know if you could throw him in any sort of high leverage situation at all anymore. Same thing with Helsley for the Mets. Like, I just don't think you can. Even if it made sense last night, and I think it made some modicum sense. I had no problem with it. I mean, other than I shouldn't say I had no problem with it because I did have a problem with it. But it's just like I sort of get it. You're trying to stay away from them, and the game gets tied. You could throw Leiter out there. You could throw Bednar out there. But do you really want to throw your closer in a tie game? Like, he's got to go out there and get outs. He's got Correa 1-2. He makes a terrible pitch. All he has to do is get the nine hitter out, and he walks him on five pitches. It's unacceptable. Like, he's just been brutal. And Anthony Volpe, and I have to admit, like, sometimes the Yankees do things that just make no sense. And the comments that Aaron Boone gave in an interview about Anthony Volpe and the idea of sending Anthony Volpe down to the minor leagues. Now, I wasn't a proponent of sending Anthony Volpe down to the minor leagues. I wanted him to play it out through here. So I'm not even saying I agree with the concept of sending him down to the minor leagues. I don't know if I ever did. But to say in an interview that he is so productive, that in what world would a player of Anthony Volpe's caliber be sent down to the minor leagues, is an asinine statement. Like, it's a borderline insulting statement. Like, it makes no sense. Like, I'll defend Anthony Volpe at times. I didn't want him sent down, but to make it seem as if he's been so productive that no other organization in the sport or no one would even consider sending Anthony Volpe down is ridiculous. And to make it seem like that, and to make it seem like, please, don't ask me dumb questions, don't bring up this nonsense, in what world would we send him down? He barely played in AAA. You called him up, you've played him every day, and he's borderline one of the worst everyday players in the game. He is he's one of the handful of worst players who play every single day in all of Major League Baseball. That's just a fact. And the idea that that kid can't be sent down, or that anyone who suggested that is an idiot, it's insulting. And it's gone so far beyond with defending Anthony Volpe. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Now, there are things to say, and then there are things that you can't say. Like, there's defending him. There's talking about how he goes in these stretches and we believe he can be more consistent. And, you know, defensively, we still believe him to be a Gold Glove caliber defensive player, even though he hasn't been this year. Like, we expect him to get back there. I think those are fair. But to look, you know, to make it seem as if anyone who would suggest doing something dramatic because he's been that awful, to switch that around and go, well, he's been so good, you can't do that, is insane. It's insane. Anthony Volpe's been that bad. And the Yankees just refuse to acknowledge it publicly. And I there's no way they can't acknowledge it privately. They have to be aware that he's this bad. Some of the comments from Rowan, the hitting instructor, were kind of just like, yeah, it makes no sense. He works hard, everything seems all right, but he's just not coming through. Like, the comments about Anthony Volpe, I've never seen anything like it. They defend this kid to the nth degree. Like, I think the fan base is probably a little too hard on him, but the Yankees defend him to just the nth degree. It makes no sense. And I'm already at the point with Anthony Volpe where it might even become a platoon situation where I'm playing Caballero at shortstop at least once, twice a week, and then maybe into the postseason. Like, that's how bad Anthony Volpe is right now. And without question, next year heading into camp, he is promised nothing. Anthony Volpe is no longer the starting shortstop of the New York Yankees next year. He might win that job, but you don't go into the season with that as you have to have at least, at the bare minimum, a legitimate major league player who can play shortstop for you and be the starting shortstop in camp at the start of the year. You have to. Because it's one thing to be a light hitter and be a defensive gold glover at short. It's another to lead the world in errors and be one of the worst offensive players. Like, it just can't happen. And the at-bats he had yesterday were putrid. I mean, just awful at-bats against left-handed pitching. Awful. And that's where he's been his best. So, I mean, it's getting to the point where Caballero is going to have to, they're going to have to start to consider playing him more than just a couple of days when they think Anthony Volpe needs a reset. Like, at some point, you have to acknowledge what your best team is. And it very well could be Caballero at shortstop and not Anthony Volpe.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey, iHeart, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 451. Let me tell you about the city's biggest indoor pickleball event. And it's coming back October 10th and 11th, and it will sell out. Sign up for the fun or for the cash prizes. Go to 1010wins.com/pickleball for all the info. The pickleball tournament is presented by Nissan. At Nissan, we make cars that thrill. Experience the thrill yourself today. Shop NissanUSA.com. Let's get to the calls here and finish out the show tomorrow, a Football Friday, the first Football Friday of the year. We'll have reaction to the Eagles and Cowboys game tonight, and then obviously first round picks for week one, some over-unders, some thoughts around the league, reaction to the Yankees and Astros as well. So big show tomorrow as football is back in our lives. My wife is miserable. She is not a football at all. She hates the idea that Sunday I am just out of commission. She hates it. Hates it. She understands it, but she hates it. Liam in Blue Point. What's up, Liam?
Hey, C-Mac. Good to have you back.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Good to be back.
I'll make my points quick. They definitely got to play Cabrera more at shortstop over Volpe. Volpe's been atrocious.
Yeah.
Devin Williams is also another one that's really hurting. Sure. But, you know, that those umps last night were horrendous.
They were.
I can't even be too mad at him.
Yeah, you know, I, in fairness to him, I agree. He was squeezed last night. He threw at least four. I agree with everything he said. There were four pitches that the umpire missed on him, absolutely, and the entire 100%. Inning could have been different. But at the same time, you know, when you've been as lousy as he's been, no one wants to hear you make excuses after the game. Like, I mean, I know that he's right, and I agree with him. But like, but in the post game, to be so just like, you know, I had an inning like that, and then you're calling strikes on Jazz and blah. Like, you guys, listen, you've been awful all year, bro. Why don't you just sit one out and let us
take it on the chin,
and let us be the ones defending you instead of you out. Like,
yep.
It was. Now, he shouldn't have been thrown out of the game because I don't think he did anything deserving to get thrown out of the game, but he was squeezed last night. He was. It was an unfortunate thing. There's no doubt.
And speaking of defending, the Yankees really got to stop defending Volpe, and I think that really hurts his rep. And then, right before I go, let's go Cowboys, C-Mac.
Oh, no. Let's go Cowboys. What, are you crazy?
I'll call you tomorrow, and we'll rant about how they beat the Eagles.
You think so? I think they're going to get blown out. But maybe they'll beat the Eagles. I'm not high on the Cowboys this year, obviously. I mean, we'll see. I just we'll see about their run game. The passing attack is really the only thing that stands out to me as a competent unit, a dangerous unit. Like they should be able to throw the football. Outside of that, I really don't know what the Cowboys are going to do well. I don't think they're in the same class as the Eagles. Anthony in Brooklyn. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Chris. Great show as always. Welcome back.
Thank you, buddy.
Listen, how does to me, you got second and third, no outs. How do you not pinch hit for Volpe at that point?
Yeah, I mean, you're not gonna pinch hit for Volpe there.
Well, at some point, I think they have to. As far as Devin Williams, I agree with you. If we're going to win anything or go far, we need him. But he needs to go on that mound and see that somebody's in the bullpen warming up. And as soon as he starts walking somebody or something, he needs to get pulled. I don't know if that's going to maybe psyche in his mind that, okay, they're going to come and get me.
I don't know about that. Like, I don't think that matters. I'm normally – the last handful of times that he's killed them in big spots over the last month or so, I've usually been more upset about Boone not being quicker to pull him than Boone bringing him in. Like, I've kind of understood bringing him in. Sometimes I was just like, but you can't let him just implode. This one's a little bit different because he gets to that point. Yes, the bases are loaded, but he gets that strikeout – He's getting the nine hitter away from getting out of the jam, and he doesn't throw strikes. Like, it's that was a maddening at bat. That was just a maddening at bat. Now, like, it should have been 2-1 instead of 3-0, but it shouldn't. You can't let it get to that point. And then 3-1, you got to throw a fastball. You got to throw something or the changeup in the zone. You cannot walk him. Richie in Queens, what's up, Richie?
Hey, C-Mac, good to have you back.
Thank you.
Hey, psyched for the football, obviously. Dallas is going to be terrible. I think the Giants really got a shot to win their first game. I don't usually get that excited, but
yeah, I think the Giants have a chance to win the first two games. I do. I think.
Yeah.
I think the Giants have a really good chance to start 2-0 this year.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get too high on it, but it could happen. Hey, real quick, last night I knew when my guy Duvall came in and he had a problem with the pitch count. That's what he did all for 5 years with me.
Really?
And a wild pitch. He's terrible.
I know he had a problem with the pitch clock when that first was brought into baseball. I guess he's got a problem with the pitch calm.
Oh, he's always had a pitch. And then a wild pitch and obviously the balk. And, you know, Williams can see. I think Williams is at a point now where he has to defend himself. Because I think in the beginning he took it on the chin. Now it's like he's been so bad in crucial situations. But they really raised their ugly head last night. And the umpire, I've been against the robotics, but God, some of these guys are so terrible.
Yeah.
And as well as the Mets real quick.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, when you're thinking about starting your rookie McClain, and he's been good as number one and Tong as number two, maybe keep Manaea off, keep Sanger off. That's a disaster at this point. So obviously if their pitching doesn't come around, that's why I think the Yankees will be fine because they got the starters, but I think the Mets are in some real deep issues with their pitching. It's got to catch up. And my team is 10-1.
I have no idea how. Every time we talk, my team's out of it. My team's out of it. Your team's 10-1.
Yeah, we're four behind, and we've hit eight. We couldn't hit a home run and throw the ball in the stands, and we've hit 18 home runs in 18 straight games. We've hit a home run.
Wow.
So that's baseball, Susan. Great, Susan.
You got it, Richie. Thank you for the call. Yeah. I know your team is hot, and it's been one of those seasons. What a weird season it's been baseball-wise. I mean, the runs and falls and collapses. Every team in first place has had like a 7-game losing streak. It's just been a weird, weird season where there's been, I mean, this is the epitome of wide open. This is the epitome. There is not a dominant team. I mean, I understand right now Milwaukee, I have a tough time buying into Milwaukee being a dominant baseball team, but to be fair, they have been. But outside of Milwaukee, who even Milwaukee early in the year went on a terrible losing streak. There is no dominant team in baseball. There is no doubt. And as far as the Mets and the pitching, yeah, I'm with you. I think hopefully we're going to find out tomorrow whether or not Senga accepts going down to the minors. And hopefully he can work it out because I think they need him or Manaea in the playoff rotation. I have a hard time envisioning the Mets going far in the playoffs if they don't at least get one of those two guys to find themselves. And that's a tough ask with 3 weeks left in the season or a month left in the season. All right, that's it. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Fleegs on the other side. Football Friday is upon us when I speak to you again at 2 a.m. We'll have reaction to the games, both the football and the baseball, and obviously we'll have all the fun of a week one football Friday. So we'll catch you then. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. I'm out of here. Bye-bye. Sports Radio 101.9.